Hi, my name is Kirkland Barrett, and I'm Director of Business Programs here at Microsoft, and I help run the BI space. What we wanted to do is share with you a video that we took at the Microsoft Data Insights Summits, which was put on by the Microsoft Power BI Group. And in this, we talk about how we do BI here in Microsoft, how we've evolved, how we think about it, and how we roll this out across the entire company. And we've heard a lot of interest in this from customers like yourselves, so we wanted to share this more broadly. Enjoy the show. And what I want to talk to you guys about today is about how to drive BI into your organizations. So we all know how important BI here is. Let me quickly ask, how many of you guys use Power BI? Good. I would expect that. All right. How many of you guys would like to have other people in your organization use BI as much as you? Right. And is it easy? No. And what we found is it's definitely a multi-year journey. And this is the one thing I would just say to, you know, kick it off with you guys is have patience, have persistence. You're fighting the right fight. It's something that's important for everybody to be able to develop within their organization over time. So what I wanted to first do was just set a little bit of a context here in terms of the importance of BI. And I'm sure for you guys who've been in BI, you know a lot of the stuff that's happening. But first of all is that explosion of data. So we've all talked about and dealt with the fact that our warehouse is getting bigger. We have more marts. There's more and more data that's coming out there, even from a structure perspective. But then also, we've got this new unstructured data that's coming as well. So social media hit us, you know, 10 years ago, and we have to deal with it. So new data that's coming in that we have to be able to deal with. It's becoming more and more important for companies. Social media is an asset. Companies are valued by billions because of their data, the information they have on people. Now, the thing that's going to make this worse for us is the Internet of Things. How many of you guys are dealing with Internet of Things data already? Okay, a few. All right, the rest of you, it's coming. And I would say that in every company, you're going to be dealing with this. Even at Microsoft, we have Internet of Things getting wired up in our conference rooms, figuring out can we use our conference rooms more effectively to be able to run meetings more effectively. So even things that aren't as directly applicable as you think transportation, et cetera, that's going to be Internet of Things. Your company's meeting rooms are going to be Internet of Things. So we're going to have to be dealing with that data. And that's a heck of a lot more data than social media, right? There's going to be billions of sensors across the world that we're going to have to ingest. And it's not just that we have to, but there's incredible value in that too. So just like I said, the conference room experience, understanding what conference rooms are being used, how long does it take to get a meeting started? Is the conference room actually being utilized? Could it be utilized for other people? Anyway, you start to correlate that then with other data and new opportunities open. And I think that's the cool thing that when we deal with BI is all this correlation. And it used to be in BI, it was all about the structured reports, the operational reports, and you know people wanted to report in one format. Now it's the speed of how quickly can you bring new things together that as people think quickly, can you respond with BI quickly? And I know that you using Power BI, you're seeing that. You're seeing the ability of that, and that's pretty exciting. You know, and so this is just, again, more of a wave that's coming to us. As we saw from the hands, only a few of us are experiencing this now. In the next 5-10 years, it's going to become even more important. Now, the other thing that we're dealing with is, and we're dealing with as Microsoft, is disruption in the marketplace. New companies are coming up fast. And the new companies that are competing and winning are the ones that are thinking differently. They're using data to be able to do things differently. And those of us who are incumbents in our industry, and we all are, there might be a few of you in these categories, but most of us are incumbents, there's going to be a disruption. The newly disrupted are going to be disrupted again. So we have to have our organizations tooled to be able to think faster than what's going on out there. Microsoft, we've been around for a long time. There's new companies coming up all the time that we're facing, and we as an organization have to get better, smarter about moving faster to be able to respond to this. And this isn't a central think tank that's going to solve this. We have 200,000 people across the globe in the company, and they're all pretty smart. The question is, how do we light them up so that we're able to tap into all of their insights so that you don't know when that next insight is going to pop across the world that's going to help us generate a new business, that's going to help us reduce costs, that's going to respond to a competitive pressure. But this is a matter of not just competitive opportunity, but it's also competitive survival. And so that's a piece of like just talking about the context of how important this is and that business intelligence in the hands of your people, the people that have the instincts, the insights, the questions. This is why BI is important. So within Microsoft, you know, I've been there, like I said, 11 years. I've gone through the process of doing departmental BI and then bringing back into one central warehouse. How many of you guys have one central warehouse in your company? All right, there's a few. Most companies don't. A company as big as Microsoft, it just wasn't possible. And so we really had to rethink, again, with the competitive pressures we're having out there, the realities of our business, how dispersed we are, just the nature of our culture, our DNA, what was important. And this is where self-service BI came into place. And if you look at it, you know, I dealt with creating BRDs, right? So you had your BRD 9, 12 months, 18 months later, that warehouse got created and it was amazing. It met the spec. But the problem is the business shifted. And I always found it funny, the developers would get upset that the business shifted. Why can't the business figure out what they do? And that wasn't the business's fault. It's just the business is moving, and it's moving faster and faster. And so that's where you had to have really good foresight in terms of what you wanted to create, but it always moved. And the business is always pounding me to say, can you just get me an agility environment? Can you just get me someplace where I can play with the data? I don't know what I want. And this is where self-service was so important. And this is where we just landed on, you know, 85% of the insights come from questions you didn't know you had. They're coming live time. There's also just a behavior of when you're in a meeting, how many people are in meetings where it's just a static PowerPoint slide with data on it, right? And you know how those meetings go. There's not much interaction. Somebody asks one question that the slide doesn't answer, and it's, hey, we'll get back to you at the next meeting with that information. It's just, it's not a fast way to be able to chew through data. So what we're trying to really develop is a culture within Microsoft. Satya talks about it, developing a data culture within Microsoft. And it's really, when he first said that, people were like, yeah, but what does that mean? And it, you know, a year later, it's like, yeah, I think I know what that means more. I still don't know what that means. But within 2 to 3 years of investment in this, you're starting to see it pay off, and Power BI is a big part of this. We're trying to get Power BI everywhere, where everybody sees it all the time. And when they look at it, first of all, people are afraid to admit, some people are scared of data. They're insecure about their ability to analyze. They don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing. I'm impressed about the number of people who call themselves analysts who really aren't that good at data. And so that's just one thing that you have to keep in mind, that this is getting people comfortable with and practicing just the basics of it. We use the metaphor of, you know, getting into the deep end of the pool versus the shallow end. I talk about the kiddie pool, right? People are scared to even get in the kiddie pool with data. So you've got to make it more pervasive and in front of people out there so that they just become accustomed to it. They see their peers using it. They start to understand how to ask questions of the data. Those are the little basic steps, but it takes a while. And so from a standpoint of the previous slide, disruption, we're developing data capability across the entire company within all those 200,000 employees so that we think smarter and are more comfortable with data so we can tap into the power of things like Internet of Things data. The other aspect here, the second point here, is these unplanned insights come from seats that are being used, okay? I'm sure you guys have dealt with in companies where you've bought licenses, maybe from us, and the seats weren't used. People weren't using the software. The most important thing with BI is that people are using it on a regular basis, right? Because again, if somebody's just sitting down there, you know, in the middle of Europe, and we're playing with data and they came up with a new insight that generated millions of dollars, that's what matters. I view my role as trying to stir the pot of popcorn, okay? I don't know what kernel's gonna pop next. My job is to add heat and be able to add kernels in there and get them popping and those unexpected insights happening. Now, the cool thing from an IT perspective, I don't know how many of you guys are in traditional IT or in business, but I'm in the IT organization technically. This actually frees up IT to do the important hard thing. So historically, we had to create those reports, and we never created them fast enough, right? And we're always having to recreate them, create a new one, and it was never quite right. But what we've been able to do with Power BI and self-service BI is shift that more to the business, because they know what they need. They have the IP, they know the context, and they know what needs to shift. That enables IT then to focus on the hard things that we've never been able to really focus on as much as we want. This gets into the big things like master data management, those really centrally controlled warehouses that do need to have tight controls, et cetera. So this is actually a good thing for IT, is to shift those workloads towards the business. We believe in the mantra to say, BI is better done closer to the business, okay? And that just shifts everything a little bit closer. It doesn't mean everything just goes over there and the business does everything, but more should be going to the business if we're going to have speed. Okay? So this gets into talking about one of the models that we use, which is thinking about architecting for change. So again, change is inevitable in the business world, and it's going to be even faster. Now, you have to build this around a nice, solid core. So again, this doesn't mean self-service BI solves all. When Power BI first launched 1.0 3 years ago, people thought warehousing was dead, and that's not true. There still needs to be warehouses, but you can rethink about, again, where you put certain workloads. So you have to have a nice, solid core. This gets into master data management. This gets into things that just are, debits and credits. You cannot argue about that. That just is. But you have to be able to have that then where that's locked down. Maybe that's following SOX or what have you, but that's that solid core that IT really should be focused on. Around that is a ring about semi-solid data. And when I say semi-solid, it's business process data. So your businesses have to have stable processes that they run on. They have to be predictable, reliable, et cetera. But they evolve. They're constantly evolving. Now, they're not going to change day by day, but they're evolving. And so you have to have a data architecture that supports that. That data architecture needs to tap into your master data in that solid core. It has to be built upon that. But you have to architect with the reality it's going to change a bit. Now, this final ring, this is the ring that we really enjoy, is the fluid stuff. This is the stuff that's fast moving. This is the competitive data. This is the social data. This is the new data that's popping up out there. And that's the part where a lot of IT organizations especially get scared of this. They want to control it. Again, in this architecture, there's more control in the middle. There's less control in the outer ring, and that's important. So if you think of also different businesses, be it your overall business or organizations within your business, you're going to want to operate in different rings. Finance probably wants to be closer to that middle. Sales and marketing definitely wants to be on that outer ring. And so you have to make sure that your organizations are set up for, you can't have one size fits all. You need to be able to span the spectrum and architect for that. But if you get this healthy, where the outer rings are relying upon the inner rings, but you also have the flexibility that's appropriate, you get a fast functioning, healthy organization that can ingest new data and respond quickly. Okay. So again, this is really about just setting the context for why self-service BI is so important. You're all here at this conference. You know that's important. But just in terms of giving you a little more context that you can bring back home and, as well, this is how we think about it within Microsoft. So what we did was, like I said, I came from the enterprise data warehouse days, and we had to reboot, rethink, what were we going to do for BI? With the enterprise data warehouse, we do, you know, 5-10 warehouses a year, and definitely for very important businesses, but there were so many people across the company that didn't know how to use BI or weren't really even turned on with the capabilities on it. And so we decided, you know what? What if we rethought about our role within IT? And we definitely have a lot of IT organizations, so it's not to say all of IT did this. This was a central group, a shared service group. But we said, let's go ahead and really push about self-service BI across the company and rethink what does that mean. So we created this program called BI at Microsoft. And this is really focused on being able to turn on the service globally, make people aware of it globally, and make sure that they know how to be able to use it, that they use it, and then they know how to use it, and then they know how to use it better, right? And then again, we make it pervasive. And I'm gonna be talking a lot about this. Now, I will be honest, we've invested in this, but the patterns and practices here you can all take back. The other piece that we're doing is we're working very closely with the product group. My team works with them on a daily basis in terms of what they need to build next, et cetera. And that's been a great partnership, and hopefully that helps you as well because we become that representative enterprise customers out there. But the other thing we talked to them about is the importance of these things that I'm going to talk about. The importance of these things for folks like you who are champions and advocates of BI, that you get some of these capabilities in your hands. You're seeing the community site building out with PowerBI.com, right? That's a foundation of it. We can go further for you, right? There's other things that we can do from a training perspective. We've got great training resources out there. Can we make it easier for you? So these, keep that in mind as context. These are a bit of previews of what we'd like to be able to bring to you. So from a standpoint of the goals of my service is really to increase, again, self-service analytics adoption within Microsoft. And I'm just going to summarize, and we'll go through this a little bit more in detail, but we take a website-first approach to facilitate scale. So old IT was, I'm going to set up a meeting with this group and talk to these 10 people and try to influence. And then the next day, I'm going to go meet with another 10 people. And the next day, I've got 200,000 people. I can't do that. I have to think about ways to be able to achieve a lot greater scale. So we've doubled down in creating a website. You saw it on the previous page there in terms of just that homepage and the type of information that we have on it. But we try to drive into a central way using modern concepts that, you know, we use as companies to market to our folks, to market internally as well as to be able to get that message out there, get resources out there available at people's fingertips. That's the fastest way that I can affect 200,000 people. What's the new thing that we seem to be having to talk about with people on a regular basis? Get that on the website. Let's build visibility out there to the website. We leverage the rest of IT to amplify adoption. So if I am going to meet with people, I'm going to meet with people who can help me affect more people. Okay, so I'll go meet with my sister IT organizations that represent business process unit IT work, and I'm going to sell them on Power BI. Because I know if I can sell them on Power BI, they become a channel and a reseller for me conceptually, right? So again, I'm always trying to think about ways to be able to get scale. Product group first with feedback for scenario gaps. We bet hard on the product group. 3 years ago, we shut down our central development of BI. We said, we don't do BI for anybody anymore, okay? IT said, we don't do BI. Now, our business process unit groups close to the business do, but essentially we said, we don't do BI. We had a bad habit of, if the product wasn't quite right, we'd create our own complement to that product. We would call it glue, okay? And it's things that we then, as IT, we got very proud and attached to, but we weren't really helping that product get better. We said, none of that. We're going to double down and drive all of our gaps back into the product, and hopefully that's helping you guys. I mean, I'm pretty excited about Power BI now, especially. How many of you guys use 1.0? Okay, few. All right. So you guys know where we came from, right? 2.0, so much better. How many of you guys have used or were aware of Power BI when it launched in GA, in July, August? Okay. It's pretty cool where it's come in the last few months, huh? And it's amazing. Like, you think back, that was August, July, August, and all the improvements they've made in the last, you know, 6 months, and they're just getting started. But this is where, for us, this is the biggest dev team I've ever had at my fingertips, right? That's the way I think about the product group, and they're there for you, too. You guys have probably given feedback on PowerBI.com, and you can vote for features and stuff, and if you haven't looked for that, look for it. They're watching that, they're listening to that, they're interacting with that, that's driving the roadmap, okay? The product group has rethought about how they interact with their community and really look at you guys kind of crowdsourcing what they need to build. And that's what we bet hard on within IT. And it's exciting and it's paying off. And then ultimately, we constantly look for unlocking end-to-end analytic experiences. It's kind of a mouthful, but really what that means is it's not just about having the tool out there. It's about really understanding end-to-end, getting the data, the support that's involved in that, just the nuances of being able to use data. Why are people not using it in their meeting? Why are they still cut and pasting that into PowerPoint, right? So we're trying to chew through the nuances of those experiences to really get it light up where we can hit that vision of people just do BI and they just use BI, right? And they just interact with BI. We also scale through suppliers. So I made the comment to say we don't do BI, but what I do is I bring in suppliers, and we have a preferred supplier network that if our business wants somebody to be able to do BI for them, I've got preferred suppliers that I connect them with. They're in the business of scaling up, scaling down. I don't need to worry about that with an IT. I don't need to go plan budgets and make sure I'm fully utilized with the people I have. I scale through suppliers. We're also very telemetry driven, so we're pushing data. We try to use data. So everything that we do, both in terms of the product usage, but then also all the things that we do from a marketing website perspective, we're constantly looking at data to be able to get smarter about what's working, what's not working. I'll talk a little bit of that later. And then finally, cloud first, mobile first, changing pattern for analytics. We're constantly trying to look forward. Jim Dubois, I don't know if you guys saw yesterday at the last session, was kind of talking about within the organization, the cloud's inevitable. It's just a matter of when and what, right? But trying to get ahead of that pattern to understand what and when can start to move there is important for us as an organization. And I would ask you guys to do that as well. Some of the sister products within Microsoft is the Cortana Analytics Suite. Incredible stuff for the BI developer. Incredible stuff. Still being built, but incredible stuff. And it's going to light up whole new ways to be able to work with data within the cloud. So talking about how we think about driving ultimately to adoption is, this is getting pulling into some marketing concepts. But the first thing that we always do is we talk about driving awareness. People need to know this exists. So just getting the word out there. We do informal polls in the hall. Hey, have you heard about Power BI? And that gives us a pulse point. We do formal polls. We do surveys, et cetera. And we understand who knows about Power BI, who doesn't. But we're constantly doing pulses. And again, I talk about the patience and persistence that you guys need to have to drive BI. It is that. We've been at it for 3 years now across the company. We get help from Satya. He mentions it all the time. That helps. So that's one lesson. If you can get a leader who just helps amplify, that helps. But you have to be patient and persistent with getting awareness out there. Once people are aware of it, then they will start to understand what it is. They'll say, I've heard about this thing. Tell me more. And tell me more is help me wrap my head around how might I get value. I still don't understand how to use it, but I want to understand how I might be able to benefit from it. So again, these two kind of go in tandem, awareness and understanding, and it's base hit. Just get the word out there and pulse it. Once you get to that point, you get people interested enough that they're going to invest in trying to get enabled. So we think of enablement as, there's service and support, but a lot of this comes into training, getting people trained. And I'm going to say the hardest thing about training is not teaching somebody how to use DAX. That's pretty hard. The hardest part about training is to figure out how to get somebody started in 5 minutes, okay? Because you will either win or lose them in that first 5 minutes. Not to say you can't get them back later, but you will win and lose them, your opportunity with that first 5 minutes. And so we took, in our program, 6 months constantly experimenting and chewing on what is getting started. Nope, that's too long. No, what is getting started, still too long, too complicated. But just don't underestimate, when you're trying to advocate and sell people within your organization about how to use BI, try to make that first bit as simple as possible. We've thought about different tactics like, I'll be in meetings and again, that PowerPoint pops up and somebody's got data up there. I'm like, come on, it's not Power BI. But I know you have data back there. Can I show you how to quickly put what you have in there in Power BI? Because a lot of times the data behind a PowerPoint's not the most complicated. And it's something that contextually that person is attached to and they can all of a sudden see it light up within Power BI and they go, oh my goodness, I didn't know it was that easy. I didn't know that it was that much more interactive. So make it simple for people. There's a lot of Excel users out there, right? We've all either come from or use, we know Excel's pretty pervasive. Take those opportunities where it's just like, hey, you already got something in Excel, let's put in Power BI. It's as simple as that. And that's the part about making it simple, that first step, something that's conceptually they can wrap their head around so that then they get more interest to be able to get more invested, to be able to do more training. The piece that we look at from a training perspective also is you need to give people guidance, right? Like it's a curriculum. We've worked on what we call dashboard in a day. It's something we piloted internally. It's a day-long session where people come to be able to walk through training. And we're also trying to stand this up through suppliers to offer externally. So that's one of the things that, follow up with your Microsoft contacts on is dashboard of the day. We're trying to get that rippled out to suppliers across the nation to support folks like you. That's been helpful. Anyway, so, but the other part with the curriculum is helping people understand when I am beginning, how do I walk through the first training? So one of the things you'll see on Power BI, there's a lot of training out there, a lot of documentation, right? It can be overwhelming for somebody who's not as passionate as yourself to get started and go through those beginning curriculum, intermediate curriculum. So that's one of the things we're trying to work with the product group on as well. And then finally, it's adoption, right? So getting people enabled, getting them trained, getting to adopt. And again, this is the behavior of using the data. Not just I created it, that's pretty cool, and we want them to do that, but also using it on a regular basis. And we're trying to get, we're focused on getting monthly active users, getting people using it on a monthly basis. But we want to change that to weekly, right? From a data culture perspective, you don't want just monthly behavior. That's a rhythm of the business thing. That's a monthly business review. That's not really data driven. That's probably data hindsight. You want people using this on a regular weekly basis. And that's part of the trick is getting the initial adoption. I used it. I'm using it more frequently, and then I'm using it all the time. And so we keep trying to push on that. All right, we're going to take the model a little bit deeper now. So the last one was a nice, simple one. That's our executive summary. This gets into a little bit more really what we do within BI Microsoft to drive this. For those of you guys who've read Crossing the Chasm, this probably looks pretty familiar. So we didn't invent this. This is marketing speak. This is tried and true within marketing, especially within the tech world, and we're dealing with technology within our companies. So this is really showing that there's an adoption curve that happens out there with any technology. And you've got different psychological profiles up here in terms of people's risk tolerance or interest in being able to use new technology. And you should be aware of this concept and start to think about who in my organization that I can influence falls into these buckets. We use this methodically and intentionally within our program. The innovators, just to summarize, love new technology. Technology doesn't even need to be perfect. It could be a little bit buggy. They like using the first stuff. Some of you guys are likely innovators, right? People who participate in the private or public previews definitely fall within this bucket. They love to give feedback, and it's just, man, I want to use it first, right? I want to sign up for it first. And it's really important for these folks because this helps to give us some of that initial feedback. Technically, does it work? Is there any rough edges that we need to be aware of before we start to put the heat on it and then be able to tell other people? Because if we bring in people who are later in the curve early when it doesn't quite work perfectly, but it's got potential, they get a bad impression, and that's harder to win them back. So we try to not tell them about the newest stuff, or if they are aware of it, we caution them, okay? We try to get the right people there. Early adopters, these are folks who have less tolerance for it not working technically, but they are willing to be the first ones to try in a business situation or a real-world situation. And it doesn't have to be perfect in terms of all the scenarios supported on it, but it does need to work to be able to get a business value out of it. These are probably some of the most critical people to find. The first bucket, they just love new technology. You just got to tell them there's something new. The second bucket, you got to get them, hey, you got to be a first mover on this. You know, this is where we're headed. They tend to be, again, that visionary. They understand where things are headed, and they're willing to give that a shot. Now, the most important thing about this group is that you find out what they've done, and you celebrate it, okay? So you, again, reward them for being early adopter, but also it's so important to tell the next group, the early majority, hey, these guys, they went in the pool, there wasn't a shark, okay? They were successful. So celebrate those examples to be able to activate the next group, which is the early majority, okay? Now, I gray out late majority and laggards because from an IT perspective, I don't have time to do that because there's always something new. So we really focus on this front end of it. And, you know, the curve shows it. Once you get to the top, it's just downhill, right? Well, maybe not that easy. But you get enough critical mass that the rest of the people do start to see, hey, everybody else is doing it. I need to do it too. So we are front end focused on that. So, again, the objective is to move new services, new technology through this curve as fast as possible. Now, we thought of Power BI 1.0, 2.0 in this, but we also think of new features within Power BI. So the support for multidimensional cubes, we have to run through this process as well. So we look for major features that are coming through that are important to us in an organization, identify them, and then be able to run through this process. Who are my innovators that are going to use it first? Who are my early adopters that I can get some success stories? And then we tell everybody, please use it. It's ready for prime time. Okay. The other piece that we do is we think about this in terms of different functions, and I'll talk about these in a little bit, but like marketing, social media, training, we've got different tactics that we're using to, within each of these groups. So there's different things we do for training for the innovators. Okay, there may not really even be training out there. It's brand new. It's off, you know, off the press. And so from that standpoint, how do we do it? You know, we try to get some webinars up there where people just talk about it. There's no documentation yet. They just talk about it. Okay. When we move into the early adopters, we've probably got some documentation. We're starting to get some rigor to it. Again, it might be some live sessions in there, but live sessions, they're expensive. But by the time we get to early adopters, that stuff better be on video because that needs to be on demand so everybody can see it, right? So it's just we think about within each of these work tracks, how do we be able to address the needs of each of these personas, okay? So from a standpoint of the framework that we use, you know, if I put this slide up and you didn't know what I was talking about or where I'm from or whatever, you probably wouldn't guess IT, okay? You probably wouldn't guess IT. And yeah, definitely take photos of this because this framework has been used for 3 years here, and it works. But this is where, you know, if you're in a technical organization, if you're in a business organization as well, but if you're in a technical organization, and especially in IT, you have to rethink about what your role is. Because like I said before, the place where you get your ROI on BI is when people use it, because that's when the insight happens that generates millions of dollars. If people aren't using it or not using it as well as they could, man, you're not getting your ROI. It's not, again, my ROI on my data warehouse that got me this standard report. That's old school. New school is, I need that ROI because I need that insight that's going to help my company not be disrupted, right? And so that's where this use comes in. So now we're starting to think, hey, within IT, we need people who are more like marketing MBAs, okay? We need people who are thinking that way about how do you drive quickly getting this capability out there and pervasively. So we've got these general buckets. Strategy speaks for itself, super important. Marketing, we've got a ton of things that we do marketing here, and this is just high level of some of the stuff that we do. But you know, these are things like marketing segmentation, again, understanding those adoption curves, understanding who the analysts are versus the business users are versus the BI developers, and be able to speak to them differently. Using surveys to be able to understand the pulse out there, what's working, what's not working, what's the unexpected nuance that people aren't getting that you have to be able to break through. So super important. We have people who do PR. We do internal press releases. So there's a lot of different email distributions out there by organizations. We write monthly press releases internally, and we push them out to those channels. So again, we use a lot of the concepts that small companies externally are using to compete in the internet, and we pivot all of these concepts internally to say, I've got 200,000 people across the globe we have to activate. How do we use those concepts out there? Social, huge. Okay. You guys are probably involved in the Power BI community, and you see some of the power of that. Internally, we use Yammer. There's a lot of different social tools that are out there. But we've created a Yammer group of 5,000 people, pretty active. People can ask questions, get questions answered. I don't have to do anything. The community takes care of itself. Took a while to build it. We had to get to a tipping point, critical mass of it. But it's really, really important to be able to have people help each other faster. They also can ask questions about data. So a lot of these things that are happening out there where the data is moving fast, you have community to be able to support that. Very powerful. We also look for champions within that. So you'll find within your organization, there are going to be some superstars. You're probably some of those superstars yourself. But find them, celebrate them. VIP them, give them special treatment, figure that out, because those are the people that can help in the social community go further. They're also going to be your internal advocates to get more scale. I talked about website, I've talked about training. Service and support, not always the most exciting two words, but super critical. So be thinking about that experience that you have within your company about providing service and support. This is really important for us because, you know, things won't always go right, but when you have a good experience about when it's not going right, you feel much better about sticking with it. And so we look at this as another end-to-end experience about how are people reaching out for support? Do they know about the community? How are we broadcasting out notifications? When they come to our site, is it super easy that you should do this, then that to contact us, right? Are we getting back to people in an effective manner? Do we know when and how to escalate to the product group, et cetera? But really just making sure that that runs like a nice, well-oiled machine will help you it'll help buy you grace when you need it, right? Because you are running a great service, it's a great product, you're doing the right thing, but occasionally something hiccups and you want to be able to retain people's confidence through that. Telemetry, I talked about that. This was a comment to say, we use telemetry across all of these things. So we have Power BI dashboards on pretty much every box up here. So I've got an Uber dashboard that I look at from a service perspective, and that my bottom line is adoption. That's what I look for, is the net result is adoption. And again, adoption monthly and weekly usage. But I also want to make sure that all of our work tracks are functioning and healthy in this, and that we're learning about how do we do social better, what's working on social. We do contests. We give away Surface Pros for the best Power BI dashboard, right? We'll do social where people can vote on it. So they're recruiting their friends to, hey, go vote for me. That builds awareness, right? So again, it's using different ideas within IT to be able to drive that wider adoption. Change management. Some people think that everything that we do that I describe here is change, and you could argue that. We make it a subsection of this overall adoption framework from a standpoint. There's easy change and there's hard change. Easy change, we just run through the machine, right? We build awareness, get people trained, et cetera. There's some hard stuff out there too, and that's the big rocks. And this will differ in different organizations. It could be cultural, political, or what have you, what's happening within the company. But we'll identify maybe three per semester. So three to work on in a given 6 months, and then we point all the guns at those things together, right? And then we use formal change management methodology to really be as smart as and intentional as we can about moving hard rocks. So one of the ones for us, and this isn't a resistance thing, it's more strategically important, multidimensional cubes are now supported. For us in IT, a lot of the existing data exists in multidimensional cubes because that's just the way you used to build old stuff, right? that old stuff is important. And for us to really get the value out of Power BI, we know we need to get that stuff activated. We need to get that unlocked. We need to get the people who are building reports on that data know that you can now use Power BI on it. We need those developers exposing it out to people who use Power BI. So that one is completely strategic. We talk about that one every week from a formal change management perspective. Then on the relationships, we do provide some advisory, limited. But some advisory. So in general, we want everybody to go to the website, self-service. You should be able to get up to speed without having to talk to us at all. But occasionally an organization or a person does need a little bit more help. We have a way for them to then come to us and ask for that help. We try to manage how deep we go on it. If it's a deep conversation, we'll try to hand them off to a supplier or to more of a local organization, but we do provide some advisory. But again, you always have to be thinking about scale. Like, how do I scale? How do I scale my time? If I take 3 days to help this one person, what about everybody else, right? So constantly think about those trade-offs. Channel management. So this is a marketing concept, and I talked about how we use other IT organizations as amplifiers. That's kind of that channel management thinking. So again, if my BI advisory can go out and help an organization of 200 people by talking to a couple people and get that organization turned on, and then they're resellers, that helps me get things going faster, further. So think about what are kind of those different channels within your organization that you can tap into, affect a couple people, and then that blast out and amplifies. I talked about that relationship with the product group, and again, double down on this one. You guys give feedback to the product group, but let your users that you're trying to sell know about the fact that they can give feedback too, and that they can vote, right? More votes, the better. If you guys want to stack the results and get your stuff up there, get all your folks to vote for the feature you want. But that feedback is super important. The other thing psychologically is if somebody looks at a product and it's like, man, it doesn't quite do what I want, if they know I can go and tell somebody to make it better, they're more likely to remain bought in. The old model of Microsoft would ship things once every 3 years, it's like, well, that's not it, right? It's much harder to keep people committed to it when that's the case. But if you can say, not quite it, but if I put this in here, you know, in 2, 3, you know, maybe at worst 4, 6 months, its feature's gonna be in there, that's kind of cool. I'm shaping the product. Life's gonna, you know, time's gonna pass by before I notice the fact, oh, that feature request is in there. So again, it changes the psychology of buy-in with people, because they're able to be invested in that product, help shape it, and they don't have any excuse not to use it, right? Because it's gonna get better, it's gonna get faster. If there's ever a team to bet on, it's this team. You know, you think of some of the competitors out there and stuff, you think again from July to now, what have they done, right? The speed on this is pretty incredible. So use that a lot. And I've talked about suppliers. Think about how you can use suppliers to get scale. That training, that dashboard in a day, that was another example of using supplier thinking, in that I don't have to ask for any budget to put on weekly dashboard in a day clinics across the company, because the business pays for that, right? They pay, I think it's like $250 for an individual to go. And in a training budget, that's not a big deal, but that basically makes it a cost neutral service. I can scale, right? So long as the class fills, it's cost neutral, and we can scale that out. So that's, again, a creative way that you can use suppliers. We, of course, have thresholds. If this class doesn't fill out, you know, we cancel the class or what have you. But we're also trying to now to stand up. That's dashboard in a day, which is an intro. But then we're also now starting to stand up modeling. We're also starting to stand up visualization best practice and some of the more advanced concepts. How do you do DAX? So, again, like I said, not the hardest thing to learn, but probably the second hardest thing to learn that's out there, right? But it's also very important to be able to really help people take advantage of that bigger power that's out there. And so as you take some of that previous slide and you kind of start now, and I'm gonna give you again just a couple different ways to think about it. We talk about scale. So this is again, this concept of scale in terms of the quantity of people you can affect versus the touch. So again, high touch, low touch. So again, we do have very select key engagements, targeted engagements that will go out there. These are like your lighthouses, your showcases. These are the things that you're going to be able to brag about. And that would be up the top where we invest a lot more time on it. But then again, we use our business process unit IT groups to be able to get some scale. We've got SI partners, and then we also have the broad marketing that's out there as well. So just be thinking about those trade-offs and how you need all of this. Don't pick one of these. If I only went with the breadth down at the bottom, we wouldn't be as successful as we are today. Scalable enablement. So this is kind of how we operate. So again, as you think about that awareness, we do segmented direct email. So when I say that, we try to identify again from a user base, who are those innovators, who are the early adopters, who are the business analysts, who are the business users. And then we take intentional messaging around those, because you know, business users don't necessarily need to hear about DAX. They're going to get scared and intimidated about it, right? They need to talk about business value and how company or how groups are being successful with it and how easy it is to use. We drive them then to our website where we have more information, deeper information, because you don't want to send out an email that's this long. You know, nobody reads those, right? And if anything, people just say, I can't even get into it. So make it nice and short, catch their eye, and then have them click through to more information. And then the scalable enablement, this is that training part. This is the part that's super important for us. And this is where, again, from a standpoint of have guided learning, dashboard in a day, those are important. We've also got recorded video. Yammer actually helps us support this scalable enablement in terms of being able to reach out to the community. We do deep dive virtual live sessions. So this is the other piece is instead of having just live sessions in a conference room, we'll do broadcast live sessions. So we'll have 200, 300 people on those at a time. We have virtual office hours. So this was something that was interesting. People would always ask our folks who are really good at what they do, you know, for, hey, can you help me out with? Well, again, that's a one-on-one meeting. So what we did is we actually fired up a live virtual office hours where people can call in, ask questions. We get hundreds of people on that. Now, how does that work, right? But what you find is there's still a lot of people who just listen and benefit from that. A lot of people have the same questions, but enough people have that access to be able to ask you questions that they're okay with this. So we just have a cadence once a week. We have virtual office hours. And that helps to redirect all the distractions that you can get in terms of people one-off asking you questions. So again, just another creative way to be able to do it. And I talked about training through suppliers. And then ideally, people go through path one, and then they go through adoption. So again, self-sufficient or through our preferred suppliers. And then also, we're looking to be able to stand up an analyst as a service. So the concept of being able to have, if you don't have an analyst on your staff, but you need kind of a partial analyst or maybe 2.5 analysts, that we'd be able to have a central offering within us where it's ready to go, where you can just basically pay a small fee within the company, the business unit can do that and be able to get their immediate needs. But what we're trying to do is, again, look across all of this operation and remove any of those barriers to be able to use it. The second path down there is that BI advisor. You need a little bit more help. So again, we talk to you, et cetera, and help you get frame up how you think about Power BI, how you use it. And then we will try to pass you off to the next stage. The key thing here is though that we learn from that, like why weren't you able to get there on your own, right? And then we drive that as feedback and innovation to improve what we offer, okay? So this is the BI at Microsoft website. I talked about how we've invested a lot in experiences getting people up and started. So you'll see here, for instance, information about the products, and we do this based upon personas. So you know we have in Microsoft a lot of stuff, right? A lot of things to talk about, a lot of products. We're getting better about simplifying those experiences, but it's a lot for people to ingest. So we try to say, you know, as the business user, you don't want to intimidate them. We show them what they need to know. It's really focused on them. The business analyst, yeah, they're kind of a fulcrum to this. They need to know a heck of a lot more. So we provide them that information. And we also provide stuff that's not just Power BI, but within that whole BI space. BI professional, this is where we're getting a little bit more into the Cortana Analytics Suite. And the thing we know from a self-service perspective on BI is it's going to be super cool that everybody can do self-service. But if the BI developers are creating poor cubes, poor warehouses with bad names, bad metadata, it's going to be hard for us to really get the full value out of self-service BI, because you get an analyst in there who said, hey, I can rock and roll on Power BI, but I don't understand what the heck this is. That's going to at least slow things down, if not impede things. So we're actually reaching out to the BI developers to try to educate them to think about, okay, now that you are no longer the one creating the reports, will you understand what this word means? And somebody else has to consume it in self-service. You have to rethink how you design. So we're investing in be able to help build that out. We've got services. In terms of this is our advisory information, learning section, I'll show you this in a sec. We've got examples. This gets into highlighting some of the showcase information. Community, highlighting different ways to be involved in that community, all the different Yammer groups that we have available, and then, of course, support. On the front page here, you know, we're blasting, you know, key messages. We've got information in terms of how we can help getting started. So, again, really quick, business user gets started. So I talked about the importance of that. We put that front and center, make that a priority. Help people understand where they can get training, How do they get help very quickly? So again, helping people get enabled, but if something doesn't quite go right or they have questions, how do you get help? What make that simple? And the other thing that we're dealing with, and I'm sure you guys deal with, is what's new? You know, dang it, the product group ships things every month. It's like that thing's getting better every month. And it's, you know, occasionally the change the UI and, you know, people need to help to process that. That's more stable. But, you know, you also have situations where 2 months ago somebody didn't like the product because it didn't do this. It's now 2 months and it does that. How do you let them know, right? So what's new is an important thing in this new model, and the product group is building some of those notifications into the experience, but those are definitely highlights. But how do you make available really for folks to say what's new? And it's both kind of a touting of, hey, there's a drumbeat of cool things that are happening, but there's also, hey, that thing you needed is now available. So we try to make that front and center. From a learning perspective, so let me just show you this. See if this pulls up here. Okay, so this gets into guided learning by persona. So again, we've got the concept of training catalog, you'll see that here, but that's not the first thing we take you to. We take you through guided learnings by persona. So we help you identify who are you. So, because again, you want to find the stuff that's just the right level to you. There's a lot of Goldilocks in terms of training. So business user versus business analyst, and getting training on that. So again, we've got a get started section, and we have a curriculum that we help people walk through. We tell them how long it's gonna be. It's intimidating when you go into training. It's like, oh God, that's gonna be 3 hours. I don't have time for that, right? What are some of the bite-sized pieces? We enable people to check off what they've taken, give ratings and feedback on that. And then we go from, you'll notice I have get started, then I have beginner. We think those two are different. And we could be wrong, but it works for us. But the emphasis on here is, again, get started has to be super easy. Beginner, you're actually kind of starting to dive into investing, but get started, that needs to be that appetizer where you can start to see that immediate value. But we do this across the different personas. From a standpoint of, you know, what I view is probably one of the most successful things for us to be able to get Power BI to be pervasive across the company and used within meetings and everything is the training part of it. You know, like I was talking to Jim, our CIO, yesterday, and it's like, you know, if I can think back the last 3 years in 6 months chunks, okay, and the conversations that happened every 6 months changed. First 6 months was, what the heck is Power BI, right? We had to win that. We just had people to have to know people, you know, that were in the hall could say, hey, I know Power BI is out there. Next 6 months was, I'm curious about it, right? Next 6 months, I've got some people using it. I mean, the conversation changes, and it can take 6 months chunks to work through this. You know, like right now, it's everywhere, right? So that conversation is just like, in the last 6 months, it's like, it's the de facto now. It's just kind of like you're assumed to use Power BI. Before it was still kind of like, well, you might use something different. Now it's pretty much de facto. I think for us going forward, we've got to make it just even more industrial where it's used on everything, the hardest things. That's our next opportunity. But my point on this is to say that getting people trained, getting more people just using it, bubbling out there, you get your champions using it, and it hits that critical mass point where everybody just knows that's the thing you use, and that's when really cool things happen. All the Internet of Things that I talked about before, your organization now has just the collective team capability and capacity to be able to chew through those new data opportunities. So do think about, how do you drive awareness? How do you get people to go through the training? Use the online resources the product group is providing you. Give feedback on training that you guys need to. That's the other piece. Let them know what training you need, right? Because again, that's probably one of the most important things. You know, 5 months ago, the product was still getting shaped and formed. There was a lot of feature gaps. Be thinking forward if you really want this to be pervasive. What are the things that you need to do in your organization to help people get trained? Because the product is going to be really cool. Like, I can't even imagine 6 months from now how cool it's going to be and how easy it's going to be. But help on that training aspect of that, because we need to be able to help get your entire organizations bought in on that. So the last thing, you know, just to summarize here, like I said, usage is key. It's all about people using it to get the insights. You've got to have new skill sets, so start to think about, again, within your worlds, within IT, about some of these marketing type of skill sets, the training, and always think scale. How do you scale more? Just constantly challenge yourself. And you don't have to start off with like massive scale, but just every week, challenge yourself. Could we scale that more? How can we scale more, right? Use some of these ideas that we have out here. And then ultimately, it gets down to a culture shift. And there's different cultures. It's about using data culture, but it's also IT letting go of some things, culture changes, right? So just realize the culture shift is important. And again, patience and persistence. This will take time, but it will pay off. You know, some of those stats that I had before talking about companies no longer existing in 10, 20 years. You don't want to be one of those, right? So the investments now to prevent yourself from being that, or to help your companies become one of those next great things. Thank you for watching. For more information on this topic and other stories focused on how Microsoft does IT, please visit Microsoft.com/IT Showcase.